Well, recently, a preliminary report on racial profiling of Indian black and coloured doctors found that massive discrimination on the side of medical aids here in South Africa, and a panel headed by advocate Thembeka Nguka-Katobi investigated after allegations by members of the National Healthcare Professionals Association that they were being unfairly treated. They believe that their claims were withheld by medical schemes due to the colour of their skin and their ethnicity. On the line today, we speak to Dr. Hina Shahid. She's the chairperson of the Muslim Doctors Association in the UK. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Dr. Hina. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Waalaikum assalam. Thank you so much for having me.
It is our pleasure. So, were you surprised at all at these findings in a post-apartheid South Africa?
I want to say yes, but unfortunately, it's not surprising. And it's not a uniquely South African problem, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. When your colleague first contacted me, I thought this was a report that was published in the UK that I'd missed. And because we've seen, similar reports published over the last two decades. And then it transpired, actually, this was, in South Africa. And it's striking that the similarities that, that I've read about in the report in South Africa and the experiences of coloured healthcare professionals.
Mm-hmm. So what are the similarities like between South Africa's experience and that of the UK?
So the first thing is that we know that for doctors who belong to a racialized minority in the UK, the experiences and outcomes around unfair outcomes start very early on. So they start actually in medical school, where medical students who are from a black, Asian, or minority ethnic background are more likely to face racial harassment, and then when they raise concerns, they're not likely to be taken seriously. And then in examinations, both undergraduate and postgraduate, they're three times more likely to fail in their exams. And then, as the career progresses, they're less likely to be shortlisted for specialty jobs and get a job even when they are shortlisted. There are discrepancies in pay as well. So they're 5%, they have 5% less pay compared to their white counterparts. And then when it comes specifically to referrals and sanctions, which is what the South African report looks at, doctors who are from an ethnic minority background are twice as likely to be referred by their employers for disciplinary processes. And this rises to 2.5 times if they were trained abroad to international medical graduates. And when they are referred, they are more likely to face the highest sanctions, i.e. they're more likely to be struck off from the regulator and not allowed to practice medicine at all.
Wow. This was just a big, looking at claims and what you've just told us is almost as if doctors and, people in the medical profession are being harassed. That sounds really bad.
Yes, absolutely. It's a real shame. It's something that a lot of organizations and individuals in the UK have been campaigning on for about two decades now. Mm-hmm. And we're beginning to see a slight shift, but there's still so much work to be done. So, now there is a lot more awareness. But unfortunately, it took a huge tragedy. So I'm not sure whether you're aware, but in the UK, we have the highest number of healthcare workers that have died from COVID-19.
Yes.
In the world. And the data that came out of that showed that, again, ethnic minorities were disproportionately represented. And that is when a lot of people in the profession, first came to be aware of this problem. So, and like I said, it's existed for two decades almost, if not more. Mm-hmm. So, there is more awareness. There is now there are calls for action. There are people that are now working together. We've had a race and health observatory that's now been set up very recently in the UK to monitor for health inequalities among ethnic minorities. And we have something called the Workforce Race Equality Standard. So it's an independent organization that looks at racial discrimination and differential outcomes when it comes to healthcare professionals, not just doctors, nurses, but also nurses and other healthcare professionals, and looks at where some of the gaps are and puts forward policy recommendations to address those gaps. But like I said, we have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a Muslim and living in the UK, we do know that Islamophobia is quite prevalent. Are Muslim doctors also treated differently because of their religion?
this is an area of work that we've been doing for the past 2 years. So we've actually been doing research on this. And the results that, and you know, the findings that we've seen absolutely point towards this. So if you are a Muslim healthcare professional, you are more likely to be discriminated and harassed and bullied. Again, similar to what we see with ethnic minority, mm-hmm. you know, healthcare professionals. But on top of that, you have an added penalty, an added layer of discrimination, yes. which is that you are not just an ethnic minority, but you are also Muslim, and that increases your vulnerability to being discriminated, unfairly dismissed, and also experiencing poorer health outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the UK, you have a public national health system, and in South Africa, we have our doctors or people working within the national health, or not national health, but I would say within government structures, who belong to a medical aid that is run by the government called GEMS. And that medical aid is reportedly 80% more inclined to racially profile medical aid claims. You know, and looking at it from the perspective of the UK, is it not that, you know, do you find the same when it comes to those who belong to, you know, a medical scheme or some sort of organization that where the government is actually paying towards the cost of your medical bills? Do Muslims and people of, you know, other color actually find that they placed in a similar situation? And this is not as a doctor, but more as a patient.
So there are two parts to this, honestly. Mm-hmm. There's first the experience of healthcare professionals, and then there's the experience of patients. So for healthcare professionals, you know, I've touched upon the discriminatory processes and outcomes yes. that they face, and you know, when it comes to their employers who are employed by the National Health Service, you know, they are more likely to refer their employees who are from an ethnic minority background to, you know, when complaints are raised, to be investigated, and then they face higher sanctions. And when it comes to patients, so again, you know, during the pandemic, we've seen how in the UK and also in the US and other countries, ethnic minorities have been disproportionately impacted. They're more likely to have severe illness, more disproportionately represented in intensive care admissions, which is a marker of severe infection. They're more likely to die. So all of these health inequalities that we've seen in COVID actually replicate long-standing health inequalities. So, for example, in the UK, in Muslim-majority communities, for example, the Pakistani, the Bangladeshi communities, we know that For decades, they are more likely to have poorer outcomes in terms of, you know, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity. And on top of that, there's been research that has shown that they're less likely to be satisfied with healthcare services because of experiences around, you know, being stereotyped or discriminated, not having their concerns taken seriously. And what that means is that it puts them off with engaging with healthcare services, and so they only present, or they're more likely to present, when they're really sick, and that means that they're, you know, are at an advanced stage of their illness, and therefore are more likely to face complications and die. So it's a huge systemic problem that we see in the UK, but it's not new, it's existed for decades.
Mm-hmm. Well, in South Africa, what we've noticed on this report is that many doctors, because of this racial profiling of their claims, have lost either their practices or the trust of their patients. So it means that their income has been severely curtailed. You know, many of them have actually gone bankrupt because, you know, of not being able to get monies for the patients they've seen who belong to medical aids, or the fact that, you know, if a patient finds out that they are under investigation, obviously, you know, it's a stigma attached to them, and they find that they lose the trust of the patient. So when we look at this, how, you know, what is being done? You've given us some idea with regards to the organizations, but what else is being done in the UK that maybe South Africans can actually learn from in order to change the way, you know, this narrative is unfolding?
That's really unfortunate, hearing the, you know, what you've just relayed around doctors facing bankruptcy and huge stigma because of being investigated. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether you've looked at physician suicide, because what we know in the UK is that if you are being investigated, you're more likely to to end your life. And we've had cases of physician suicides who have been under investigation by the regulatory body. So it has a real serious mental health impact on healthcare professionals. So if we look at that particular element, there are support organisations that have, you know, that are in existence in the UK, which aim to support doctors in distress. That's one of the terms that's used, who might be undergoing investigations, and to give them the, you know, the mental health support that they need. But again, this doesn't go far enough. And then our regulatory body, which is the General Medical Council, has a specific forum for equality, diversity, inclusion, where different organisations, including us, the Muslim Doctors Association, but also several others, meet regularly. So it's, you know, quarterly, to discuss issues around discrimination or experiences of our members and healthcare professionals who we represent, you know, and actually take this to the regulator and ask them, what are you doing about this? There have been a number of reports that have been published to come up with best practice examples. And in the NHS, so we have hospital trusts that now have equality networks, so Black and Asian minority ethnic networks to support staff. So there is work that's being done kind of on a local level, whether it's supportive networks within hospital trusts, whether it's a regulatory body that's trying to engage with organisations and individuals, and then there's the mental health support as well that's being given to healthcare professionals that might be undergoing an investigation. But there needs to be kind of a national strategy on this very issue. So the first is, you know, looking at really what the systemic issues are and how to tackle them when it comes to healthcare professionals on the front line, you know, in their line of duty, who are ethnic minority and already vulnerable, then their vulnerability is further increased because of their skin colour or their accent. And you know, that puts them at a higher risk of getting complaints, which we are seeing during COVID. We've seen an increase in the number of complaints against doctors. We've seen an increase, abuse by patients against doctors as well. We don't have the data broken down by ethnicity, but I wouldn't be surprised if ethnic minorities found themselves to be, you know, more in the firing line when it comes to facing abuse from patients and facing complaints. You know, we don't have that data yet. So there's something there about actually collecting the data to make this an agenda that needs to be addressed. But I think, I mean, I don't know how the regulatory body in South Africa, for example, engages with organizations, and if you have organizations that represent ethnic minority doctors or, you know, Muslim doctors and other faith doctors, the way that we have in the UK, because that's been quite helpful to form those coalitions and campaign groups to then lobby the regulator and the government to put in safeguards in place so that ethnic minority healthcare professionals don't find themselves in the firing line.
And just lastly, slightly off the topic of the racial profiling, but right now, obviously, the UK is under lockdown. And I think, you know, South Africa's gone through that. And we've seen quite a number of people, being affected by the new variant that we have here in South Africa. What's the situation like in the UK at the moment, seeing that you've had quite huge numbers with, you know, increases in your infection rate?
Yes. I mean, to put it bluntly, the situation in the UK is out of control. I actually live in London, which is one of the worst affected parts of the UK.
Yes.
You know, we have over 1,000, almost 2,000 deaths a day. 1,800 was a figure we had this week.
Yes.
Of people dying from COVID-19. And, you know, we've got one of the worst death rates in the world. So it's a huge issue. And frankly, you know, the government has been very poor in its response and its strategy, and we have seen, you know, thousands of avoidable deaths as a result of poor planning and strategy by the government.
Well, we wish you and all of the people working on the front line, I think in the UK, across the world, everything of the best. May Allah keep you safe. May Allah protect you. And may He make it easy upon all of us. Because right now, I think with COVID, we're seeing a very, very different world compared to what we knew. And Jazakallah khair for your time with us.
Barakallah fi. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.